Warning, this episode contains explicit content. Please proceed with caution. What's up, everybody, and welcome to Whiskey Sex Talk. I am your host, Romeo. She is a certified matchmaker, as well as dating coach, that has been helping singles find love for over 15 years. Thanks to a profound passion for creating genuine connections, she has perfected the matchmaking strategy, allowing her clients to have fun while finding the one. Because let's face it, the modern dating world has created an environment where it's hard to connect on a genuine level with other singles. The sad truth is that many people dating online aren't who they portray themselves to be. Even though there are more dating apps than ever, it is hard to meet others on a deep emotional level. Finding a compatible partner is a relevant struggle for all generations, and this matchmaker understands the frustration of being single and dating. After all, that's why she started KP Matchmaking, to help others avoid the mistakes she made following her divorce and create a fun, positive, and healthy dating experience. Christy, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me again. It's great to be here.
Thank you. I'm excited to have you here. I'm always excited to have guests on the show. Okay, so let's begin. So normally I ask our guests to tell us a little bit about themselves and how they got here.
Okay. So I'm a dating and relationship coach and matchmaker. It's KP Matchmaking. And I got divorced a long time ago. I'm not going to date myself. And I was making a lot of mistakes coming out of my divorce, like not knowing how to online date or set good boundaries or see red flags. So I did a lot of research on like looking for people that, you know, were still hung up on their ex, or cluster B personality types like narcissism and things like that. And I started helping my friends create better profiles and see the red flags and just value themselves more when they got back into the dating world. And I started a dating coaching service. So that's how I got it. So I got into it to help people not make the same mistakes I did when I got divorced. And now I work with people in their 20s up into 60s, all across the board.
So you started this matchmaking service, and you realize that we're living in an age right now where there's so many apps, and I mean, we have so many options at our disposal. But the one thing that happens a lot is that we're not being ourselves on these apps, or we're not being really truthful. Why is that? Why is that happening? Why are people not being themselves when it should be so easy? Because you're using an app, and you know, you have that kind of like that wall there, that buffer, to so you can actually be a little bit more relaxed.
Yeah, that's a really good question, because it's been that way since even I started this business. People are like, they lie about their height. The photos aren't current. They're like from like 5 or 10 years ago or things like that. And now you have all these Facetunes and all these other things that people use. So the one thing, I don't know why people lie. We'll start with the surface stuff. Like if you're lying about your height and what you look like, people are going to see that when you walk in the door, and it's so disingenuous.
Yes.
And right off the bat, you're misleading, and
right,
I hate to say the word lying, that's pretty rough, but people are going to see that. So just be who you are when you walk in the door. And then also I see a lot of people say, oh, I run, I play tennis, I do all these different things. And then when you meet them, you're like, what? Like, there's no way you're doing all these things. And you ask them about, like, oh yeah, like in college or way back when I used to do these. Like, it doesn't make sense to not be who you are on the dating apps if you really want to find someone. Some people are on there just to hook up. So they just are just,
right,
they'll just do what, you know, say or do whatever to get out there. That's fine. Just be honest about it. People use it to, you know, just date around. Some people use it for relationships, but be authentic about, you know, get less people stalking you if you're authentic,
right,
first of all.
Right.
But I don't know the reason behind that. I think people, either there's some of them are scammers and never going to meet you. So that's one reason.
Yep.
They try to suck people in. And then people that are real people, a lot of people, I think on Bumble or some statistic came out that 69% of the people online are in relationships, which is really high. So they're never going to meet you anyway. They're looking for validation. So they don't really care if their profile is real or not, or accurate. Mm-hmm. And then the other people I think maybe they want to be someone they're not, or they're not having the right, they're not getting the right people online. So they feel if I change my height, or I basically allow the women have all, you know, they take all the wrinkles off, then they'll meet me. But then when the person meets you, you're really not who you said you were. And it's a letdown.
I don't like profiles that have selfie pictures, because A, selfies do not portray who you really are. It portrays the angle you want and you think you look good, and it doesn't radiate like your energy, your persona. It totally creates this like illusion. And what ends up happening, you meet the person and you're like, wait a minute, but you don't look like that person. And you're so confused. And then people wonder why are people just like, you know, not like they'll meet me, but then they're not interested, because we're not being really truthful with pictures. I'm right. Very big on pictures. Like, I really believe that if you're going to be on these like, you know, dating apps, like, it's so important to have pictures that really radiate your essence, who you are. Really, like, let's say you talked about sports, doing sports or doing activities, put a picture of that, because then that shows who you are, and it really puts you in that position where people can see you and not like this facade of who you are. Transparency is very important when it comes to like meeting people. Obviously, clearly, I'm stating the obvious here, but what are the hardest things that you find when it comes to like creating, like, sitting down with these individuals and be like, listen, we have to be transparent? Is it difficult for individuals?
Not with the matchmaking at all. And the coaching clients, because I really tell people, for the matchmaking, if they don't tell me who they are, their life and relationship goals and interest, hobbies, do you want kids or don't you want kids, politics, religion, if they don't give me the full picture, then I can't do my job right. So they might as well just go online date and just, you know, throw darts at a wall. So when they hire me, they really, we dig deep and really figure out who they are, their value systems and everything else. And then I find people that are mutually aligned with those goals and their criteria. So that's important. So it's important for them to be as open with me as possible. And that's the conversation we have.
Thank you for that. What are key things that you feel are necessary to have in place before approaching, let's say, coming to your matchmaking services or just in general?
So I don't take just anyone for matchmaking. So if they're not ready for matchmaking, mm-hmm. We do coaching first, or maybe they need therapy first. So you really have to, such a cliche, but you really have to love yourself and create a life that you love first, so you get into a healthy relationship and not a codependent or toxic relationship. And if you're trying to fill a void, it never works. So really doing the work on yourself after divorce, like figure out who you are as an individual. You know, you have this time now. There are things that you may not have had time to do before. So start doing those things now. If you wanted to learn Spanish or learn to play tennis, or, you know, just do fun things and just kind of figure out who you are. And if you just create a life that you love first, and then get back out there and date. And then I work with some people in your age range, 20s and 30s, that have, you know, especially after COVID, you know, the conversational skills may be lacking. Maybe they have social anxiety or things like that. So we really work on that area first before we do matchmaking. I set them out on mock dates. I have some people that are going out with men and women to kind of help them have those conversations with people and just get comfortable again with the dating process and kind of getting out there.
Do you feel from the two genders, male and female, like from your clients, like who are the easiest and who are the easiest to work with, and who are the not difficult, but like the little bit more requires a little bit more attention? Is it men? Is it women? Does it matter?
I used to say the women were the toughest, but I have some really amazing clients now because I really am choosy on who I take. The main thing is that they're open, because I'm not a magician, so I can't predict the chemistry. So I put people in front of each other that are aligned with what they're looking for, mutually aligned with what they're looking for. I would say the one thing I think men are a little easier is if the date doesn't go, you know, maybe they like the woman and the woman's like, I'm not really feeling it. Then they're fine with it. The other thing that I love about men is sometimes women get so hung up on that rom-com
spark
that they won't go on a second date. I'm like, you know, the first date, it could be, they could be off that night. They could be a little nervous. Like if you had fun, give it 2 or 3 dates. Cause that rom-com spark could be like a toxic situation you had before, that maybe the sex was off the charts or something, that you should not be in that situation again. So I don't believe in rom-com spark. I think 100%. It's great sometimes if you have it, but that's just the chemistry. That's not really situational for a long-term partner. A long time, you want a friend, right?
Right.
And a lover. So to get to know someone, I think, is important. And women won't give that a chance as much as men will. So that's big. So they're losing a lot of opportunities to find the love of their life.
You know, it's interesting you talked about that. I'm glad you mentioned the rom-com thing, because I think that we have been so brainwashed, or we've been conditioned by media. You know, even the way we do our courtship is so consumer-based. And you know what I mean by that? Like, I like her, I have to buy flowers. It's just like, it's ridiculous. Like, that is that even your love language? You know, like, do you speak that love language?
Right.
Is that how you show affection? But what I really do have noticed, you said something very important, like that spark. People will go on these dates, well, I didn't feel that rom-com spark. That's something that I myself have caught myself. It's happened to me where I didn't necessarily felt like what I thought I needed to feel, but the chemistry and everything was amazing and the connection with it. But my mind didn't register it, because I had that idea that I had in my mind of like, if I feel this way, then that means it's real. And that necessarily does not mean it's actually a terrible indicator, because what you said, it could be an indicator of your previous relationships or your previous thing. And I think that's one thing that people do make a mistake, where if they have this assumption, well, if I don't feel this way, well, I don't think it's the one, you know, because I didn't feel the spark. And you can have good chemistry, and it could seem almost platonic, I want to say. And then just because it feels platonic, you're like, well, you know what? No, maybe not. And you kind of miss that opportunity. It's so crazy that people do that. I've done that. And then I look back and I was like, you know what? I was like, I think I might have made a mistake on that, you know? And you kind of always wonder. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I feel like that's one of those things that, you know, as teenagers, there are these rom-com teenage movies, you know, where we're kind of like, the guy has to chase you. Oh, you know, it's going to be like a real fake meet cute story.
Exactly.
Why do you think, I really want to talk about this. Why do you think that women are a little bit more reluctant to be more open than men are? Is it because they have more expectations?
And I have to back off that, because your age range, I think more women are open, but the age range like 40, 50 plus, they're not open to if the spark's not there. So I'm not sure if they may be blocking themselves somehow, or they just want to be swept off their feet. Mm-hmm. And that's not real life. Like, we're talking about the movies again, like all these, like, you know, all the movies out there where they fall in love in first sight, and it's just like this grandiose love story.
Right.
Real life is like, you really want someone that's going to be there through the thick and thin. They don't show that on the rom-coms.
Right.
Like, oh my gosh, I have a sick parent. I have this or that. Like, you know,
right.
You know, the world we're dealing with right now, like all these different things, they don't like come up. It's just everything's happy. And you want someone that can be there through the thick and the thin. So I think it's important to really give people that chance to go out again. So to answer your question, I don't really know why they won't give it a chance, but they're definitely blocking themselves. More men will go out again. They're like, let me just go out again. I had a good time. Let's see what happens. Then the women.
Do you get like guys that like want like, you know, like the tens, the, you know, like the people that are not like tens. I need someone that's like a 10, like a trophy, you know, trophy wife, quote unquote. But I'm saying, like, do you get that? Like, they have to be this way. And then like, you gotta have to kind of like, listen, we gotta sit down. Let's be real. This is the reality. This is what we have to work with, you know, because I feel like if I was going to, I'm just being me saying, like, if I was going to a matchmaking service, I would have all these superficial criterias. I'm just being hypothetical here. Let's just say, because we can be a little bit like that until someone tells us, hey, wait a minute, you know, let's not focus on that. Let's focus on what really matters. Do you get that a lot?
Usually they're pretty open-minded. Because when I meet with each person, I'll show them profiles of real people and that they could actually meet. And if they're like, oh, yeah, these people seem normal, they're pretty. I mean, they went pretty. You know, men need to be attracted to the woman, right, just as the woman need to be attracted to the men. But if they're off the charts and they're out of their pay grade, for lack of a better way to put that, like, you know, if you you attract what who you are. So if you're like, I hate to put numbers on it, but if you're a six and you're looking for a 10, let's kind of reel that in a little bit. And then also there's a factor of money. So some women don't care. And if a guy has a lot of money, he could be a six and she could be a 10. But my program is people really looking for long-term relationships and people who are real. But they do want, I mean, men want pretty women and the women are the same too. Cause I work with active, positive minded singles.
Nice.
So they want someone that's say a fit, active, can get out there, takes care of themselves. Not necessarily like the face as much. Well, for men it is.
Yes.
But just that they're just healthy individuals inside and out.
Nice. Now, can you tell me about KP Matchmaking? Because what are the requirements for, I don't know, your membership? Tell us a little bit about your matchmaking service and what it does. Because I really, really do like what I've read on your website. I really do like it. I want you to talk to me about it.
Okay. So the requirements are that you're single, number one. I've had married people try to hire me. I'm like, no, I'm not an escort service. So being single, being self-aware is important. So someone that's self-aware that can take, I do coaching with my matchmaking. So sometimes people need coaching to help them with the process. So anyone who's like active, that's like positive, if they need therapy, I wouldn't take their money. I'm really integrous how I work. So I make sure that when I do take on a client, we go through initial consultation first for an hour and get to know who they are and make sure that I can meet their expectations. So that's really the main requirement is I talk to them first, get to know them, that they're honest about what they're looking for. I try to make the process fun as well. It can be, you know, dating can be daunting sometimes, but I make sure I bring them people that are already aligned with what they're looking for and already want to meet them. So there's no rejection. So basically active, positive minded singles, people that are like self-aware or open to kind of looking inward if they need to do some work before they start the process.
Nice. I want to kind of ask you a specific question. You said you work with people from all different ages. Is it particularly for both genders, what's the hardest people to kind of match with? Is it harder for older women, younger men, older men, based on what, with your services? I'm just asking because I want to know what the dating scene is like when you're older. Let me just ask the direct question. Let's say I'm divorced and I go into the dating service. Like, is it harder for divorcees? I think that's the word.
I used to think that it was easier for your age range until COVID hit and online dating went haywire. So I would say 80% of my clients right now are late 20s or mid 40s. And then it jumps up to the 50s. So I think there's less out. I used to think there were less singles out there for people that were divorced, right? That wanted to be in relationships again, that were ready to be in relationships again, that had done the work and the healing and all that. But I'm seeing it's skyrocketing with people in your age range because there are a lot of singles. People have never been married or out there, but I think there's less committal. So it's hard to find people that are in their 20s to 30s that actually want relationships, that want to start a family. I see a lot more women now that don't want to have kids. So it's a different time we're living in now. So I would say before, when you're divorced, it's a smaller pool. It's tougher. I think it's across the board now.
I want to ask a question. I do want to do a follow up on that. You just mentioned something that more women now don't want to have because, you know, getting married and starting a family is now it's a lifestyle. It's a choice now. Guys that come to you and they ask like, hey, I want someone that wants to start a family and this and that. How do you bridge that? Like, you have guys telling you, they want to have families, they want to get married, they want to have kids, but then you have a lot of women now saying like, hey, you know, I don't think this is a choice I want to make now. How do you work that out? Like, do you still pair to people together? Do you know what I'm saying? Because I feel like there is a lot of women that are really like, hey, I don't want to have kids right now. I don't want to be like my mom. I don't want to be like my grandma. I just want to, you know, do it when I want to or I don't want to. It's just, it's hard. I could imagine because why am I bringing this up? Because there's a I don't know if you're on social, but there's something called the Passport Bros, and these guys are actually going abroad finding foreign women, American guys working remote and going abroad finding women because a lot of things. The whole feminist thing that, you know, they feel that they're not finding women that value like family, that want children, that are feminine. They've talked about this, that they're going abroad because they find better women who want to be women, versus this whole thing where you're seeing now there is like this kind of like almost like a mismatch that is happening, and guys are catching themselves like, wait a minute, like the majority of these girls are not like, they don't want to have kids. I want to, some, it's hard. It's getting hard.
Yeah, I think you're right. And you just mentioned about the the feminine energy. So I see that across with a lot of people. So you have a lot of women that have more masculine energy, which is one of the reasons I got into this business, because I was working in a man's world, executive coaching, you know, financial advising. So I had to really elevate to, you know, keep up with them, and they respected me. So that was part of my problem in attracting the right kind of man. I want a man that's a man, not someone who's feminine that I have to take charge.
And there's no problem with that. There's nothing wrong with that. But like, you know, the dating pool, there's certain requirements that people look into, people want, you know?
But it's switching. So like, see, men are becoming a bit more feminine. Women are becoming more masculine. So if you're a masculine man, you don't want a woman to come control your life and take over and type A and, you know, have that masculine energy. A masculine man, they want someone that's more feminine, that maybe would like to cook, which I don't. That's probably why I got divorced. I'm kidding. way back. But they really value that. I think they value the traditional values. I think that's where we're going with this. The traditional values have kind of flip-flopped in a lot of spaces in terms of the way people are brought up and what they want. And I think that says a lot with women that don't want kids. I don't have kids. It was never something that I wanted, but it was shunned then. Like, don't be like Christy. She doesn't want to have kids. And now it's just like, it's more open, which I think is nice. But it's just, the world's changing a lot. So men who want children, there's less of a pool for men who want to have kids and family and the whole white picket fence than there used to be.
Do you find that is actually difficult doing that now? Because you've been in the matchmaking business for what, over 15 years? Is that correct? You're having these women come in, hey, you know, I don't want to have kids. I don't, you know, and you have these men that want to do this and do that. I would imagine that it's interesting to kind of like get all these profiles or all these individuals coming to you. And then you're just like, I would be scratching my head. Like, how am I going to do this? Like, this is, you know, cause
I make sure I have the people to line them up with. But some of the women that I work with, we work on that feminine energy. Because they want a man to be able to take charge and do
things, of course,
be a man. But if they keep leading with the masculine energy and trying to fix their life and fix their business, men don't want a business partner, most men. You know, power couple is a different story. We're not going there. But yeah, if they're not asking for help, they really want a woman that can appreciate who they are as a man. And those are the clients I work with. Most of them want those traditional roles. I do have a couple of women that don't want kids. And that is, if they're in your 30s, it's difficult because a lot of men want kids. So, but most of them do want to have children.
I'm not judging, because I think that we're living in different times. And I think people should do what makes them happy, really. And if kids is something that you don't want, hey, you know what? Don't feel guilty. Don't feel shame, because women have been carrying shame for such a long time. And we're just getting to that point where you don't have to feel bad for being a woman, for doing you, you know, because women sacrifice a lot. Let's just be honest. Women have been conditioned to sacrifice, you know, forget me. It's all about how, you know, I gotta do this for everybody, before everybody goes first, I'm last, you know?
And I was career driven. A lot of these women are career driven. So when they have, you know, if you have a baby, you have to take up time for your career, or they love to travel. They just love to do whatever else, or they just don't have that drive to have kids. I think some women had kids when I was growing up that really didn't feel like they wanted kids, but you just did it. You know?
Yeah.
I know that I've talked to some women that have gone through that.
What are like some qualities that women mostly look for in men? Like qualities, I'm talking about qualities and what men want as well.
So women usually want a man that's financially stable and not living with their mom. Right. That's number one. That is empathetic, kind, honest, loyal, smart. Since I work with people that are active, and have a sense of humor. So kind of a prerequisite for the people I work with. Like I want to have fun at my job and show up every day. I want it to be fun for them. So sense of humor is big, especially for women. That's one of their top that they can laugh and, you know, crack a joke once in a while and the guy gets it and vice versa.
Yeah.
And then the men, and women want to be attracted to the men.
Men are always,
but with the men, they're a little bit more picky about looks and things like that, for sure.
Yeah.
They want someone that's feminine, that's caring, kind, appreciative, loving, smart. They don't necessarily care about the financials, but they want someone normally that's, you know, a little educated and can keep up intellectually with them. And overall, just they want someone that just loves them.
Yeah,
and that's
of course.
Kind and loyal.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's funny you say that men want, you know, because for guys, like someone good looking in our eyes, right, is a status symbol, really. It is a symbol of that. And women, the money thing, it really translates security. That's what women are saying. That's how I take it. Like when they say someone stable, someone financially, security, because women, I feel like when it comes to like looking for potential, let's say we're talking about marriage now, potential partners that could lead to marriage. Women, when we hear that, once upon a time I used to hear this, I'm like, oh God, women are such gold diggers. But I was like, wait a minute. No, it's security. It's the symbol of like stability and really creating, like making sure that the family is going to be okay. And men, the whole thing about men wanting like someone that's good looking is to pass on good genes. It sounds so shallow, but it's like kind of like you want to mate with someone that, you know, you really can see yourself having kids with. When we start doing like these, going into matchmaking services, there's a lot of deprogramming that we have to do, because I feel like a lot of people, they think they know what they want in things. But then when you start asking like the deep questions, then it gets a little bit more complicated, because then you're like, well, wait a minute, I've never thought about that. And that's where you start really realizing like kind of like, oh, stop, I haven't done that, like the pro and cons list, you know, like what I don't want. Everything is so fast. And I don't think we're really paying attention to these little things unless you're really serious and you're like, okay, this is what I want. When you bring these people in, you sit down with them, is it challenging for them to kind of like take inventory as to what they really want? Not like the superficial, because there's so much fluff, you know, on top of everything. I can tell you what I want, like, but what I really want, that's a different conversation.
Right. Usually by the time they've come to me, they're so beat up from online dating, they kind of know what they want. Unless they're just coming out of divorce and they're trying to figure it out. In that case, they should be online dating and going out on dates before they start the matchmaking process. But normally most people have a pretty good idea. The one thing I have to reel in is sometimes the checklist is so long that I have to be like, okay, let's reel it in. So they always have an idea of what they want, but sometimes it's just like off the charts. And I'm like, you know, some people I think they believe they can get 100% of everything they want in their partner. And that's not the case. You get, you know, if you get 80% of what you want, you're lucky. That's why we have family members and friendships and we have, you know, professional lives.
Right.
You can't get everything from one person. So I think that we have that conversation, like, what are your top 3 to 5 must-haves? Like, you can't have like a checklist of 20 and I'm going to be able to meet all this criteria. It's just not possible. I mean, in terms of qualities, religion, politics, if you want kids or don't want kids, that's a whole different story. Those are important to a lot of people. It depends what their criteria are. But aside from that, the qualities and the values, like I want them to be 6 foot or taller. I want them to be... make this amount
have
of
big
money.
Boobs.
Have this amount. I mean, come on.
It's
she should have a size double D. I will buy them for her. You don't have to have it off the bat.
It's so funny because I want to say this because I had conversations with friends and I like to like see where people are because I like having these conversations, and I'm so amazed at how much secondary things are like the qualities. Like people use like secondary things as like, I'm like, but that's not a qual. No, but it is. I have to, you know. And it's like, I'm like, but is it really? Like, is that, you know? But what's interesting is when the secondary thing is actually like a deal breaker for people. You know, like for example, let's just use height. Because height is to women what boobs are to men. You know, like that's the equivalent. Right. So height is from my experience, from my girlfriends that I've, my friends, height is a very important thing. And we've sometimes, when we go out, sometimes like guys will approach them and then they'll be like, oh, but he wasn't tall enough. But I was like, was the connection there? And but it's, people are so, they hold on to this stuff. And then you look at them like, you know, you're successful, you're good looking. Like, why is this such an, oh, you know, it's so crazy that secondary things can become the quote unquote the hardcore qualities that I need.
I talk women off the ledge on that a lot. So online dating, like you're screwed. If you're 5'6", if you're a guy, you're 5'6" or 5'7". It's just like, or maybe 5'8". But when the women come to me, or I interview some of the women for my clients and they're like, oh, I'm 5 foot. He has to be 6 foot tall. I'm like, all right, let's go back to that. You know, you put 3 or 4 inch heels on, and really how often are you wearing your heels? Like, are you wearing your 4 inch heels when you're doing like the dishes and the kitchens, like when you go out? And you could miss someone that's really amazing that has all these qualities and he can't change his height. So yeah. So I think women want to feel, so I say, women want to feel safe. So if he's smaller than you, that's one thing.
Right, right.
But come on, let's get real. Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking about that. You know, I was just thinking that like the height just represents like protection, you know? So this is what I wanted to ask you. Like, do you have people that are just stubborn where they're just like, okay, no, this, I have to have this. Like, what do you do then when they're like, no, this has to be in there?
I won't take them as a client.
Good.
If it's off the charts expectation, if I can't meet their expectations, I will not work with them. Yeah. Cause I mean,
so I'm glad you say that, because there's so many matchmaking services out there. They'll just take anybody. And
you're right.
You know, and I mean, especially now with the Netflix series, all these matchmaking series that you see now, there's a huge, everybody wants matchmakers now, but the business has been around for like one of the oldest professions, I want to say.
For sure.
Because I really generally think that like when it comes to like these matchmaking services, like if I was in that position where I'm like, okay, I'm going to start working with a matchmaker, like I would really want someone that would be like, hello, you got to come down here. You know, this is where we're, you know, because sometimes, like I said, like there are matchmaking services out there that are just like, okay, yeah, come on. Yeah, sure. Oh yeah, no worry. Don't worry. You know, and they're not really investing. It's really nice to hear that you really do invest in that. Now,
thank you. Because a lot of matchmakers will sign them and then get to know their clients. I do that initial hour and a half first to really make sure I can meet their expectations and get to know them. And then we decide if we're a good fit. Because it's the worst to hire a matchmaker and sit around for 6 to 8, 9 months and not have a match, or them just send you out on a bunch of dates that don't mean anything.
One of the worst things you can do is, like, let's say go out there in the dating scene and not be really yourself. What do I mean by that? Meaning, like, let's say you have childhood trauma, or you are... you haven't sorted out a lot of issues, you know, you haven't found closure in certain areas, that can carry on with your energy and people will pick that up. And then you end up wondering like, well, wait a minute, why am I not getting matches? Why am I being passed on? And sometimes people are not aware. Sometimes like you think you're doing okay, but then you go on these dates and then like you're saying all the wrong things that you shouldn't be saying.
Right. Yeah, like talking, going on and on about your ex. I mean, eventually you have to get that conversation.
Right, but not on the first date, you know. Sometimes people have that conversation on the first date.
Yeah, like the first is build rapport, get to know who you are, interest, hobbies, travel, fun things. Like, don't be the Debbie Downer. That's the killer for a first date.
It is a killer. Nice. Now, what's one bit of advice you can you want to tell us, our listeners here?
I think the overarching theme is be authentic and be yourself. Right. If you really want to find love, just go, when you go out there, be intentional on your dating, know your boundaries, know what you want and what you don't want, and just be real and have fun with it. You know, the first date's just a intro, meet and greet to see if, you know, you have a connection to move forward. So keep it light and be yourself and look like your pictures and don't lie when you're online, because people are going to figure it out. And then secondly, at least have a phone call. Because if someone's voice is annoying or you can't hold a conversation for 10 or 15 minutes, don't go on the date. So get a feel for the person.
And you know, when you do the phone call thing, I do want to say, you feel the energy and you're like, no, it's not going to work out. You know immediately. Immediately. We all know that. Like, we've all been there and you hear the voice and you're like, no, that's not you. It's weird. It's the weirdest thing, but
yeah,
it is kind of like a, it kind of tells you like what to expect. Now, my last question is, if people want to get a hold of you, how do we do that?
They can go to my website, kpmatchmaking.com. They can schedule appointments on there. My phone number's on there. They can call me or text me. I'm available to people, you know, however way I can help them.
All right, Christy.
I have Instagram and all that too.
Oh, what's your handle? Okay, it's on your website.
Matchmaker Christy D. Price.
All right. KP
That's
Matchmaking.
That's my Instagram.
Okay. Awesome.
Yep. KP Matchmaking.
All right, Christy. Thank you so much.
Thank you. This is so fun. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is it for today. I am your host, Romeo. Till next time. Bye.